making TV special.
Donuts. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means.
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Brand new music from Bright Eyes, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. That track's called Haile Selassie from the new record from Bright Eyes called The People's Key. And this is the B-side. It's a late night B-side episode 208 from MediaMonarchy.com. late Sunday night, early Monday morning, March 7th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, giving you all the alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups on the B-side, all the things we can't cram into the live Friday morning show. And just a little bit ago, I had the chance to talk to Mike Rupert of Crossing the Rubicon. He was a guest on my man Clyde Lewis, groundzeromedia.org, and that episode will be available within quite a short time on groundzeromedia.org. And on this episode, we're going to blast through all the related news from my sister sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. That's Food World Order, Cyberspace War, but first we're going to look at Holy Hexes. And we've got the 3-3 pop occulture. That's our list of ugly headlines posted up on March 3rd. These were, again, all the things we couldn't cram into Friday's episode. SCOTUS commandments shock. And the first story, SCOTUS upholds Westboro right to protest at funerals. And that is from goddiscussion.com. But a way to get a little bit of an update and perhaps at least a little more closer to myself background, we'll take this from beliefnet.com. Oregon debates new funeral protest bill. A day after the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of an anti-gay church to picket funerals, Oregon legislators discussed a bill that would put distance between protesters and mourners. And we do have one clip pertaining to the SCOTUS Westboro decision.
Freedom of speech versus freedom of religion, public versus private, right versus wrong. The gavel has dropped and the media is buzzing about the U.S. Supreme Court's 8-1 ruling that the Westboro Baptist Church has the right to protest at military funerals. Here's the backstory. The Kansas church picketed outside the funeral of a fallen Marine in Maryland in 2006. The soldier's father sued Reverend Fred Phelps and his church for emotional distress. But today, the High Court says Westboro was within its rights.
And they decided that Westboro's message wasn't about the specific soldier they were picketing, but instead about wider national public issues, criticism of our country. And that is protected by the First Amendment.
Although the Westboro group followed Maryland's funeral picketing guidelines, the one in the 8-1 ruling doesn't buy it. MSNBC reports the lone dissenter, Justice Samuel Alito, says the protest was indeed a private attack.
He said this ultimately is not about public issues. This was a private action, a private attack on a single family and a single father, and that the father should be able to sue for damages.
The Atlantic Wire suggests the 8-1 ruling appears to be a good measure of how the media feels as well. Extreme distaste for Westboro's intolerance, but support for protecting freedom of speech. A blogger for The Stranger writes, no doubt the activities of the truly awful Phelps family are, well, truly awful. But it's heartening to know that our Constitution still loves free speech even more than Phelps hates gay people. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Jay Bookman agrees. As despicable as those church members might be, I don't know how the court could have ruled otherwise. Tolerating the rantings of hateful fools is part of the price we pay for free speech.
Now, as this is an audio video B-side episode 208 for Media Monarchy, you got to go to the posting so you can see the photo that goes along with this. In other news, new Pope book says Jews not guilty of Christ's death. That's from Reuters. And the Observer asking the question, was a Vanity Fair editor secretly working for Scientology? And the related update to that, to the Denver Post, division at software company over Scientology, apparent before 2009 shooting. This next story comes from WVVA.com, and it was originally posted incorrectly as West Virginia students protest Ten Commandments removal. But when the name Giles County didn't ring a bell to me, and it wasn't taking me back to eighth grade social studies where I had to learn all the county names, Giles wasn't one of them, and it's not. It's from Virginia. Virginia students protest Ten Commandments removal.
Some students at Giles High School have sports stickers on their lockers. Others have proudly taped up the Ten Commandments to defy the school board.
We're trying to get them put back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
The removal of the Ten Commandments from school walls has some students at Giles High School fighting back.
Us Christians want them up, and we just think it's basic morals, and they should be up. So we've been putting out the Ten Commandments on our locker, and the other religions have been putting their beliefs on them.
Since the Giles County School Board has had them removed for the second time, students say there's animosity among them.
A lot of students have gotten into it, and there's other people that have other things up on their lockers and people that go around and tear the Ten Commandments off.
The students that want them taken down, they got mad about the people who want them up, and it almost broke out into a physical fight because someone had called someone else an atheist.
Religious students are taking it one step further.
A group of students from Narrows and Giles have made t-shirts that we're ordering that have the Ten Commandments the problem. No, it's the solution.
So why the change? It started when some locals reached out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin. The organization's lawyer says they received complaints from parents about the commandments being reposted. The organization then sent a letter to the school board threatening a lawsuit. Now that they're back down, the organization says they're keeping an eye on Giles County. The lawyer for the Freedom From Religion Foundation gave WVVA this statement. Along with the ACLU of Virginia, we are monitoring the situation to ensure that the school board does not attempt to skirt the law and put the Ten Commandments back into Giles County schools. Any such attempts to violate the Constitution and Supreme Court precedent would constitute a losing legal battle for the school board.
I tried numerous times to contact Giles County School Superintendent Terry Arbogast for comment. He has not yet responded.
Further blasting through our holy hexes, UK student may have been lured to a cult bunker, his father fears. More on that from the yorkshirepost.co.uk. Canadian cult leader Rock Thoreau dead in jail. More on that from CTV. New Jersey man who says God told him to kill his girlfriend gets a new trial. And our final note on this 3-3 pop culture, SCOTUS commandments and shock as gunmen kill Pakistan minister.
Another high-profile assassination has left moderates in Pakistan reeling. The victim this time was the only Christian minister in the federal cabinet, gunned down outside his mother's driveway in an attack that left his relatives howling with grief.
God, in the dang it!
Armed men had peppered a car carrying Shahbaz Bhatti with bullets. A spokesman said Bhatti was dead by the time he arrived at Shifa Hospital, though police added that his driver escaped unharmed. Pamphlets found at the scene of the killing warn the same fate awaits anyone opposing the country's blasphemy laws, which impose the death penalty for insulting Islam. The leaflets were signed by Al-Qaeda and the Pakistani Taliban movement in Punjab province. Bhatti, a 42-year-old Roman Catholic seen here at a news conference in 2009, had been the most prominent advocate for Christians in Pakistan, a tiny minority in a country where the overwhelming percentage of the population of 180 million is Muslim. His killing was immediately condemned by international religious figures, including top Anglicans. At the Vatican, a papal spokesman urged Christians be protected from persecution. Back in Islamabad, local priest Anwar Patras was visibly upset.
Injustice is done to our community, whole community.
Outside the hospital, Christians and members of the government's ruling party were chanting slogans against terrorism and against the police. Prime Minister Yusuf Raza Gilani had rushed there to pay condolences to Bhatti's relatives. A statement from his office said he ordered the killers be brought to justice for what he called a heinous crime. But he made no mention of the blasphemy laws. Gilani and many others considered political moderates have avoided calls for reform and a sign of how they fear Islamist street power in Pakistan. Bhatti's killing has left Christians there more fearful than ever. One Islamabad resident had been wailing they feel orphaned, having lost a champion who fought for their rights. Karen Sloan, The Associated Press.
Quickly now, our related Holy Hexes news, and not enough time to fully flesh any of this out. So, as always, with everything we discuss on all of the websites and all of our episodes, we implore you to go check this out for yourself. From the BBC, holy smoke, Nepal sadhus banned from selling cannabis at the temple. Meanwhile, CBS New York reporting the deadly Flatbush, Brooklyn fire was a result of a voodoo sex ritual. And finally, by way of the new civilrightsmovement.com, Joey Ratz, Pope faces international charges for crimes against humanity. And we'll have to leave it right there, my friends. That's everything on holyhexes.com, covering all your pop culture desires. Continuing on this B-side episode 208 from MediaMonarchy.com, my name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show. We're going to hop over to CyberspaceWar.com and run down the March 3rd DEF CON Fascism Fake Friends FOIA, where we begin with an article from the Washington Post, but my man Jeff Long over at Redacted News puts it quite well. Washington Post headline, Obama joins critics of nonprofit group that oversees internet, or Obama and China agree fascist dictators should control the internet. And again, we'll remind folks, this is an audio video episode, so if you're just listening, you gotta hop over to cyberspacewar.com to see the photo that goes along with this, where we have Obama asking who about approval numbers slipping and what to do. Meanwhile, army of fake social media friends to promote propaganda. More on that from PCWorld.com. CENTCOM says spy bloggers not friending U.S. targets. I guess that's the rebuttal to the PC World article from, again, the Washington Post. On an even worse note, Bradley Manning charged with 22 new counts, now including capital offenses. That coverage coming from Threat Level, as they've followed that case pretty closely and pretty well. When Westboro won't take no for an answer, which we hit in our previous Holy Hexes segment, Anonymous hacks live. And this piece from the Examiner comes along with a video that shows us some of the folks from Anonymous are talking to one of the fools from Phelps that they apparently hack their website live for them and show them. Chaos as Anonymous attacks toilet paper, Sweden, and itself. So it gets worse and worse. That's from ArsTechnica.com. And actually, yeah, there's a funny photo to go along with that. Of AnonSoft, of why are they attacking AngelSoft? Because they're owned by the Koch brothers, or the Koch brothers. SCOTUS says AT&T not exempt from FOIA, again from Threat Level. And Grist asking if Watson can win Jeopardy. Can IBM make cities smarter? Well, they are planning on it, and we've seen some of their handiwork in the past of what International Business Machines has done. And our last note on this, DEF CON, fascism, fake friends, and FOIA, Minority Report style shopping, billboard profiles, shows ads tailored to your taste. Another article filed under this Minority Report style shopping question mark. There's no question mark about it. In this case, the Daily Mail reporting on it, and it's been shoved in our faces. Tom Cruise does it. Meanwhile, Vanity Fair has a massive piece on Stuxnet, a declaration of cyber war, and in addition to linking you to just the nice, clean, print-friendly, full version of the article, a declaration of cyber war. We also have from BusinessInsider.com, did U.S. Intel mastermind the Stuxnet cyber missile? And we know that they did, with a little help from their friends, but we'll read the quick blurb from Vanity Fair. Last summer, the world's top security software experts were panicked by the discovery of a drone-like computer virus, radically different from and far more sophisticated than any they'd ever seen. The race was on to figure out its payload, its purpose, and who was behind it. As the world now knows, the Stuxnet worm appears to have attacked Iran's nuclear program, and as Michael Joseph Gross reports in this article, while its source remains something of a mystery, Stuxnet is the new face of 21st century warfare, invisible, anonymous, and devastating. Now, the link I add to was behind it is to a flashback on cyberspacewar.com. Israel tested Stuxnet at Dimona. Furthermore, deathbed statement of Carlos Allende. This concerns the Philadelphia experiment. And furthermore, we've got something on the Dulce underground base mystery, deep underground military bases, the likes of which are referenced in this piece, Phil Schneider, the late Phil Schneider, and some of the other folks. And then we blast off to space for alternative three, if you will. Discovery docks at the space station, and there are some amazing photos and videos to go along with that from PopSci.com and Lego. So more on that, and then more around, rather not even cyberspace, the real space. Impressive auroras as Aurora Max 2012 nears. And we also have solar flares, amazing high-def videos of solar flares, the likes of which you've maybe never seen before. And somebody added, and I saw it somewhere just recently, in relation to these new solar flare videos going back to February 24th, 2011. When you put in the relative Earth size next to the sun in some of these flares, you'll know that just like the title of episode 177 from CorbyReport.com is, it's the sun, stupid. Let's now move to foodworldorder.com. There are many sites in the media monarchy kingdom, and I would think, and this is what I kind of strive to do, is we're trying to kind of grow this and organically, non-commercially, non-corporately build this, is to have something for all kinds of folks out there and not to just focus on any one particular area, because there are so many things going on all around the world, from top to bottom, from inner space to outer space, and all around. Food World Order 3-3, Binge and Purge, just like we saw on Cyberspace War and Holy Hexes. This time it's Poison, Poles, and Paycheck, and a nice little bit of satire in just, I believe, I don't even think there's an article that goes along with this. I believe it's just this jar of Gerber pears, as Gerber recalls 60,000 jars of baby poison. Meanwhile, we have a poll from Newsvine. Do you believe GMO food should be labeled? And I think we already threw in our vote on this. Let's take a look at it. It's on MSNBC. Okay, so yeah, with about 43,000 votes, 96% say yes, it's an ethical issue. Consumers should be informed so they can make a choice. Meanwhile, states try to loosen raw milk restrictions as the FDA tries to tighten them. More on that from naturalnews.com. And an update with the Baby Gaga breast milk ice cream in the UK that we reported to you just over a week ago now. UK restaurants' breast milk ice cream seized by council officials. More on that from the Daily Mail. Whole Foods CEO, in talking to MarketWatch.com, says don't call it whole paycheck, and gets into it's about people's priorities and not prices, and does say actually some kind of interesting things there. Meanwhile, world food prices up for 8th month. That's from UPI. Prices here at a 20-year high in February, the United Nations says. More on that from the Denver Post. Meanwhile, the Council on Foreign Relations recently held food safety talks featuring fronts from Pfizer, Cargill, Interpol, and so much more. More on that from foodsafetynews.com. Meanwhile, from allgov.com, 80% of U.S. antibiotics go to farm animals. Furthermore, on foodworldorder.com, we take one from Grist. Your healthy alternative food may be the same crap in a different packaging. Looking to lower your impact? Here's your cheat sheet. Goodguide.com offers greenness and social responsibility ratings via web or app for tens of thousands of products, including food, clothing, toys, and cleaning supplies. Obviously, it's massively useful to be able to look up a brand on your phone and see its health and environment score before you buy. But there's another interesting side effect of the Good Guide website, because it scores companies and not just products. You can use it to find out who owns your favorite brands. Even if you don't trace your meal all the way back to the farm and then go visit the chicken you're about to eat, a jab here at Portlandia, you may be surprised at where your food comes from. A lot of supposedly better choice brands are really subsidiaries of large, conscience-less corporations. And as many of you know, I do work at an independent grocery store chain here in Oregon, and I touch some of these products, such as the Golin Kashi, which is owned by Kellogg's. And so many of the natural foods are owned by Smucker's or Kraft or Nescafe or Nestle. And it's really difficult to keep up. So this is just another interesting way. And again, don't get bogged down or put off by the global warming greenness nonsense, but use it just to be able to make smarter decisions for yourself. And some of the links in there will also take you to some other sites like knowmore.com and cornucopia.org. And one thing to note, I do know, and I even found myself thinking about it as I had one the other night. It's the Amy's Organics, Amy's Go Organic, Amy's Kitchen. They are actually the real deal. They are still a family-owned company. So that's one we can still count on. Now, a story we covered on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, episode 65, Experiments Exposed, Cloning Closed, Major Farm Animal Cloning Project Canceled Due to Death and Disease. And I would just recommend, and on YouTube here, I'll supply the link and the annotation for you to click over and check that out for much better coverage and analysis than I'm able to give you here. Although here I am able to give you the screen grab that I went and got from my own Simpsons collection from the Tomacco episode, which is called E-I-E-I Doe, I believe, where all the animals become addicted to the hybrid made of tobacco and tomatoes. Finally, on Food World Order, and for this B-side episode 208 from the Toronto Sun, Mouse, Pig, and Superfish Seek Approval for Human Consumption, which is makes it sound as though they are doing the seeking of the approval for their own. Anyway, the federal government is refusing to say, this would be Canadian, whether it is close to approving genetically modified animals for human consumption, but if they do, you may never know it. So far, groups have applied to get approval for fish that grow twice as fast as normal and pigs with mice DNA spliced into them. For confidentiality reasons, Health Canada cannot confirm whether or not a submission has been filed or any other information related to that submission, said Jenny Van Alstyne, spokeswoman for the Health Minister Leona Aklag. This week, media reports revealed that scientists in the Department of Fisheries and Oceans raised doubts about approving genetically modified fish over concerns the fish could escape from fish farms and mate with natural Canadian fish stock. Aqua Bounty, a firm with Canadian and U.S. operations, made the application. Aqua Bounty's website claims the company is also working on developing hybrid salmon, trout, and tilapia, which will also grow faster than traditional fish. The application for a genetically modified pig comes from the University of Guelph, called EnviroPig. Researchers splice DNA from mice into Yorkshire pigs to reduce the amount of phosphorus in swine's manure. The researchers hope the reduced phosphorus will mean less pollution in rivers and streams near large-scale pig farms. And we'll just cut it right there as we are running just about out of time for this segment. And this final segment of this audio-video version of B-Side Episode 208 from MediaMonarchy.com. Again, so many things in here to go over, and so many things, again, that we even referenced in that last story that are touched on in the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, who, yes, is going on a bit of a hiatus due to a death in the family, and all our thoughts and everything is there with him. And so send those positive vibes his way, and they will be appreciated and accepted. So, my friends, I believe that does it for everything here on this late Sunday night, early Monday morning. And I'm home alone, so I was up late listening to Clyde Lewis, and like I said, got to talk to Michael Rupert and wanted to bust out a B-side. And even as I speak, my bookmark folder is already filling up with tons of other news. So there will be more than enough and more of everything to go over on the upcoming episode 209 this coming Friday, 311. That's the Battle of Los Angeles Day. And you better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.